What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and as usual, I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Kevin, how are you?
Very good. Excellent, excellent. I am ready for spring. How about you?
Yes, absolutely. Feels like it's getting there every day.
It is. It is. We actually had a little bit of snow up here in Ludington, and this is my first podcast recording session in my new office overlooking the woods and the pond, and it's a beautiful thing. I had to figure out how to eliminate all the white noise, the furnace and the refrigerator and the ventilation and all that.
Right.
So yeah, I had to do a little techie investigation into my recording process here. So I hope it turns out okay. So we're talking about the guru today, are we not?
We are talking about the guru. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a big one. I think that second to the jester, this archetype is probably the one that is the most often picked, and I think it's picked more by like consultants and coaches and doctors
lawyers.
And lawyers. Yeah, people who feel that they need to come across as knowledgeable and experienced. And like we've said so many times in our past podcasts, that's okay. But you just have to be aware if your competitors are all doing that as well, then it's really tough to differentiate. So go ahead and pick it if you think it's super powerful and own it and live it and breathe it. But be careful about your competition. So there it is. It's about wisdom and knowledge and data and information and processes. It's a way to build lots of trust if you have that stuff and if you can pull it off. Another thing about it is, the guru or the sage archetype, Marx and Pearson, when they wrote about it in The Hero and the Outlaw, they called it the sage. And that word to us over the years is not as intuitive as the word guru. And they both imply the same thing, though. But they're both super low energy. So I love the archetypes that you find in movies. So when you think about like Star Wars, where Luke Skywalker would be the hero, and C-3PO and R2-D2 would be the sidekick duo comedian jesters, right? Yoda would be the sage guru, right? So think
yes.
Yoda. If you can be Yoda and you're drawn to how Yoda, he's so knowledgeable and so wise.
And calm,
super low right. energy, yeah.
Yep.
And did you know that the character of Yoda, when they created his face, that they used Einstein's eyes?
No.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is that cool? Yeah. Check it out next time you look at Yoda.
Look at Yoda the same again.
Right.
Yeah. So the guru is also known as the sage, like you mentioned. Some other words that they use sometimes are analyst, the teacher, the scholar, the thinker, an expert, or a researcher.
Yeah. And they all kind of imply that knowledgeable, wise person, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's look at some examples like we usually do. I think that the one that I will probably mention the most often is the Wall Street Journal. Because, when you think the Wall Street Journal, it's all that financial advice and just pages and pages and pages of numbers and data and stock listings and bonds and all that stuff, right?
Right.
But there are lots of other examples out there. Geek Squad, CNN, a lot of news outlets come across as very knowledgeable. Google is a great one. I mean, who knows more about us than Google, right? Oil of Olay, they portray yourself is, intelligently taking care of your skin and, you know, that kind of approach. And of course, both you and I always bring up Oprah as a personal brand who is a sage and guru. And what I always say when I bring up Oprah is you may or may not like Oprah, because there are a lot of people who are just not really into Oprah. But whether you do or you don't, you got to admit she is kind of seen as a guru.
Right. Now,
what is the basis of that, do you think? I mean, how does one develop such a strong sage guru persona when her background is in acting, right?
Well, I do think, too, that she, like a lot of show hosts and things like that, they don't just rely on their own knowledge, but they tap into other people's knowledge, the guests that she brings on.
Yeah.
She's definitely not like a jester. Mm-hmm. Type of one. And, you know, like she has the book club, talks about really good books for people. She is very civic minded, community minded about the people.
Intelligent.
And like strong morals and values and that kind of thing. Consistent, you know.
Yeah. Authentic. I would use the word authentic.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And, you know, as you were going through that list, I was also thinking about the Geek Squad, where it's kind of a weird thing because they are the guru as far as like what they do in their brand, but their name is not a guru name at all, I don't think. Like Geek Squad would be more like Jester.
Jestery, yeah.
So there's kind of a...
There's a funny undertone to their advertising as well, you know.
Right.
The guy in the funny wrapped VWs. I love that when they came out with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's... Let's do a swap. Notice I want to point out something at this point in our podcast. If you have been listening to the last, I think we're on, this is the 8th archetype that we have done. We got 4 to go. But every single of the first 7 archetypes had sub-archetypes, and this one doesn't. There is no sub-archetype for the guru. It's just the guru. So we're going to skip that section and move on to our SWOT analysis. So SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So why don't you start us out with these strengths?
Sure. Yeah, you touched on it a little bit. The guru brand, because it bases its trust on knowledge and intelligence, it also should be very good at making their customers and clients also feel wise and intelligent and informed and in the know. Kind of like we all have that one friend that's really up on politics or sports or something like that, and we always go to that person to get the latest information if we're lazy and don't look it up ourselves, like me. So that kind of person in your life, they know a lot about what they know about. And they can back up their knowledge with facts and figures and data. They're not just pulling statistics out of thin air. They actually can back it up.
Yeah.
And they do their and these companies, they do their research. They have the research available. They should be pretty transparent that way. And they create, because of all of these things, they create the trust with their employees and clients because they can prove what they know.
Yeah, that's a big deal, isn't it? Trust.
Yeah. Yeah, like you've said before, they've got the chops to deliver on the goods.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yep.
So let's look at the cons or the weaknesses. If you think, I don't know, Amy, you're gonna find that this is not a surprise, but I have been noted and seen as kind of a goob, a geek, a nerd. I know, that surprises
you.
No,
shocking.
Okay, so one downside of being a sage guru is you can be seen that way, and they do often lack social graces. If they're passionate about how what they're working with, their ideas, they can come across that way. And you got to be aware of that. If you're coming across that way, it can be off-putting, right? Mm-hmm. Gurus, they hate to be outsmarted. You know, so if someone else knows something more than they do and they demonstrate it in front of other people, that kind of stings a bit. They don't like to be proven wrong. They don't like to be tricked or lied to, because we're talking about knowledge. We're talking about facts. You know, you don't try to
lie about the facts,
get around the facts, right?
Right. Exactly.
It is possible. I think this is probably the biggest weakness of the sage guru, is that they can come across as a know-it-all, and people love knowledgeable people, but they hate know-it-alls, right? So it's a subtle nuance. It's an approach that you have to refine so that you don't go there, right?
Yeah, and I think this is really where the guru can stand apart from like the ruler. Because the ruler is just going to be like, I know it, we're the best, we don't really care what you think.
Right.
But a true effective guru is going to be very knowledgeable, but also bring those around them into the fold and make them feel smarter instead of dumber.
Right.
So like, yeah. that's a skill that you right. need to acquire.
And another part about that, because it's right along, because I agree with you wholeheartedly about the whole guru, ruler thing, that they're kind of in your face.
Right.
A good guru will never say, I'm knowledgeable.
Right.
It will be discovered. Oh, wow, that guy really knows his stuff. And you never have to say it, right? But you do have to exhibit it. You have to demonstrate it, but do it in a way where you don't come across as a know-it-all.
Right.
And another big part. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, like, and the way you do that is like with the data and the research and,
yeah, that's
and
right.
all that to back it up. Yeah.
Right. Another big part of the guru, I think, is this concept of emotions, where, like in marketing, you and I know, whether other people are aware of it or not, because they may not be into marketing, that emotions really are what guide us in our decision making. And emotions sometimes will often override knowledge and data. So that can be a weakness where a person or a company, a competitor that is doing a really good job of tapping into emotions, the sage guru might be trying to tap into knowledge and data and lose on that point. So it would definitely be a mistake to discount or ignore that aspect of marketing, right?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah. So opportunities with the guru. As we've said, the guru always has the opportunity to share their knowledge and help people become smarter and more informed. They have the research, and the more research and stats and information and explanations that you can provide as the guru, the more trustworthy and reliable you become. Just makes sense, yeah. right? The more you can prove your point.
Yep.
And gurus are often the go-to source for information in your industry, and they are the industry experts. So we talk a lot about that, and I do with my clients as content creators and blogging and adding content to your website and things like that. It drives traffic and does all those good, really good things with keywords and analytics and SEO. But what it also really does is that the more information you have out there, it really does make you an industry expert in what you're doing.
Right.
And that's important. No matter what archetype you are, it's important to, you know, show that you know what you're talking about, or you know your business really well.
Right. Let me take an opportunity here to jump in there. We're going to be talking a lot about how the archetypes apply to marketing. And when we get there, we're going to be expressing our views of content marketing, especially you, the great content creator that you are.
Thank you.
Both huge believers in content creation. If you're not blogging, then you're losing out on an opportunity to portray yourself as one of these powerful archetype ideas. But also, if you're not blogging, you're not tapping into the newest, latest, and greatest information that's out there. So if you want to become a guru, or if you want to embrace another archetype and still be seen as a person who's knowledgeable in your industry, we could not give a stronger recommendation that you really need to be blogging. You have to carve away time. You have to make this a part of your professional life. And once you do that, it becomes your owned content that's used in all of your marketing. But yeah, if you're going to be a guru, holy cow, it's mandatory that you stay on top of maybe not the bleeding edge, but definitely the cutting edge of your industry. And no better way to do that than blogging, right?
That's absolutely. Yep. And, you know, the last thing I want to talk about your opportunities, you know, knowledge is power. And the more information that you have, the better decisions that you can make and those kinds of things. So gurus can easily build trust by amplifying their clients' and customers' comfort level and peace of mind by armoring them with the most important knowledge that they need to have.
You go. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, threats. Just like the cons, the threats, what can happen to you? You know, if you fear not being the smartest person in the room, the threat is that you actually aren't. That you get outsmarted, that you get duped, that you're lied to by other people and you fall for it, which not only demonstrates you as the not so knowledgeable person, but it can actually really damage your brand. You never want to lose trust. If you lose trust, it really is the strength of everything that you do. The kind of the essence of the guru is this trustworthiness, right? And you have to have a strong moral compass so as not to be lured by the tactics that would degrade this trustworthiness, right? Your entire goal is through knowledge and wisdom and experience is to build this huge level of trust, because that's your connection with your target audience. And it is definitely built. It's very difficult to be a brand new person. You know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but let's say a person decides they're a budding entrepreneur. They just graduated from college. You know, they're 22 years old and they start a brand new company. This person is motivated. They're super energetic. They've got it going. And the company is starting to be a wild, wild success. Regardless of all of that, I think it would still be very hard to come across as a guru if you're that young and inexperienced. You know, if you have, you know, less than a year's worth of experience and you're 22 years old, it's really hard to be a guru. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that it is definitely something you want to think about there. I think that's the only age-related archetype decision that I've ever encountered.
Yep, I can see that. And also, I was thinking too that if you are in a company that does do a lot of research, data, new technology, that kind of thing, for your brand and also just your general processes in your company, you have to think about too, like, the information's always changing, new discoveries are being made, things like that. And so how do you handle that with your brand without sounding like you were duped or you did figure out something or you didn't know something before? It's just all this like emerging technology, we did more research kind of thing. And you can manage your message and manage your brand that way in a really effective way that works for you instead of against you.
Yeah, so you just made me, it's a tangent, but it's directly related to something you just said. And I see this way too often in business. People very commonly, too often, feel that if they don't know something, that they will be seen as unprofessional or a level of knowledge that's far below where they should be. And when they feel that way, they will tend to give advice or convey knowledge that they don't actually have. And
yeah,
that's dangerous because you don't know who you're talking to. The other person might just be smiling and nodding their head and thinking to themselves, oh my God, that's not only not true. This person is completely blowing smoke up my backside and this is bad. And they're just smiling and nodding their head. And you just lost all credibility because you were saying something where you truly didn't know what you're talking about, where you could have said, you know what? I'm not quite sure about that. Let me dig into that a little deeper and I'll get back with you.
Right. That is exactly the best answer. And I think sometimes as business owners and professionals, we don't always realize that it's okay to not have all the answers and it's okay to say exactly what you said. People aren't going to look at you like, oh man, they don't know what we're talking about. Like, I'm not expected to know every single thing there is to know about marketing and branding. I probably know more than the average bear.
Right.
But, you know, and that was something I had to learn as a younger professional entrepreneur. It is totally okay to be like, I don't know, but we're going to find out.
Amy, don't sell yourself short. I know that you know more about branding than all bears.
Well, probably all bears.
Yeah, right. Okay.
That's true. Yeah.
There's the jester.
That's totally a phrase my husband uses all the time. More than the average bear.
He says it all the time. He's a product of Yogi and Boo Boo and the cartoons of the 70s. Yep.
Oh, well, okay. Talking about weird ways to say things, let's talk about some of the words that you can use if you're the guru archetype to infuse into your content and blogging and all that stuff. So some of the power words, I think, are advice, knowledge, data, experience, expertise, fact, guidance, information, input, instruct, intelligent, logical, master, or masterly. mentor, method, process, qualified, solution, strategy, wisdom. You get the idea.
Yeah, that's a great all list.
All smart words.
Yep.
Some verbs could be just similar, like advise, consulted, demonstrated, developed, established, expedited, formulated, founded, guided, learned, mentored, pinpointed, resolved, solved, taught, trained. So these are all, you know, amazing words that you can just pepper into all of your content. And when you talk about what you do, things like that, and it'll just, you know, edge you more towards get in alignment with that guru archetype. And if you would like more words like this, we have a word bank for that. We have word banks for all of our major 12 archetypes. You can just contact us. We sell them for $29.95. They're just pages and pages and pages of really good words and verbs and phrases that that you can start using. So yeah, they're great. So just let us know if you're interested in the one for the guru or any of the other archetypes that we talk about.
Yeah. Now, a person might be thinking, yeah, it's a couple page document filled with words. Yeah, I can do that. And anyone can. All you got to do is go to dictionary.com, thesaurus.com, and just start researching. The benefit of the word list is not the number of pages or the word count or the $29.95 that we're asking. The benefit is how much time it took to create the list. You know, it probably the first pass 14 years ago, well, probably 2 hours, 3 hours. But the fact that we've had hundreds of clients add to the list and we trimmed off words and, you know, to create this set of words, you know, we're probably talking 500 to 1,000 words maybe on the high end for some of the archetypes. But it's the time that went into the development of these lists that's the real value. And for $29.95, holy cow, you get to save yourself from spending all that time, which is a beautiful thing.
Right.
Yeah, so the meat and potatoes of all of these podcasts, though, is if you're going to choose this archetype, how do you infuse it into your operations? How do you become this archetype? And you really have to understand how you go up against other archetypes. You know, what happens if one of your competitors is another archetype? You know, if your competitor isn't really doing anything in branding at all and they're all over the place, great, let them be that way. It doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be a lot stronger. But if they're doing something really well, you kind of have to think about how you're going to go up against them. So let's talk about going up. Let's just, again, like usual, let's pick a couple. If I were to say, Amy, let's go up against an outlaw. You know, what are the attributes of an outlaw that are the opposite of a guru?
Well, the outlaw doesn't really rely on trustworthiness.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really the focus of their brand.
Yeah, in fact, kind of the name outlaw says it all, doesn't it? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Right. Yeah. But the guru definitely thrives on this whole trustworthiness, and I hope that listeners are actually starting to get sick of us using the word trust. But it is the biggest concept within the guru sage archetype. Outlaws. Let's talk about outlaws some more. They are unpredictable, they're kind of outrageous, where the guru is never either of those things. They're very predictable, very calm, and very,
you know. Yeah, Allah probably has a little bit more, a little bit more energy level, higher energy level too.
Absolutely. Guru. Yeah, and then similarly, let's take a look at another high energy archetype, the jester. Wild, super energetic, also very unpredictable like the outlaw, where the guru is staid and calm and easy to predict. Right? Okay, so the jester is not as serious as or as low-key as the guru. So seriousness is a weakness for the jester, but it's a strength for the guru, right?
Yeah.
So these archetypes are kind of the opposite of the guru. Let's talk about ones that are similar.
Yeah, so one of the ones that I think about that is similar is the neighbor, mm-hmm. Because it's also high on trust, but the difference is the neighbor's trustworthiness comes from familiarity. You trust your neighbor because you know them, they have a key to your house, you have a backyard barbecue with them, that kind of thing. Whereas the guru, you trust them because they back up their knowledge with data and experience, but it's still that same kind of trustworthiness there. Yeah. So there's that connection there. The mother and also related, the innocent archetype are also like low energy archetypes that make you feel calm and peaceful and better. And the guru, I think, also makes people feel better. No, 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 you don't have to freak out about that because, like, here's the right information, right?
Right.
So that kind of stuff. So they're kind of similar. And then I think also, I think a case could be made for them, for the guru being kind of like the hero archetype. And we talked about that. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, because the hero will achieve remarkable things by basically brute force and effort and hero-like things. And the guru will achieve remarkable things by tapping into their experience and knowledge. So,
yeah, but they both achieve great things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You just don't want to be as energetic as the hero, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 So that was a quick one because we didn't have the sub archetypes. And it is very logical. I think that there are some, if the listeners have been listening all along, I hope you're kind of sensing that some archetypes are super easy to understand, like the mother, the lover, the neighbor, the guru. But others are not as easy to understand, like the artist and the explorer. Those are, like, the explorer is the one that's probably the most difficult to embrace, but it's super powerful once you do it. Yeah, I'm glad this one was is an easy one. And we have, how many? We got four left, I think. Magician, artist, innocent ruler. So let's tap into the magician next week. What do you think?
Sounds good. We'll magically delicious. We'll be there.
And we'll will transform our podcast into fabulousness. Yeah,
that's right. That's okay. Right.
Very good.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, please give us a call or head on over to brandarchetypes.com. Our contact information is there. Again, if you'd like that word list for the guru, you can contact us there. And please, please follow us on our Facebook page. You get lots of good information there.
And Twitter and Instagram.
That's right.
All those social all media good, places.
Yeah. LinkedIn, all of them.
The interwebs. Okay. We'll talk to you next week, right. Amy. Thanks.
Have a good one.
Yep. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.